God, if I were Corey, I would be so annoyed by me. How are you with me right now?
He's with you because he's one lucky son of a bitch. That's why.
Welcome to After the Bell. I am still Corey Graves. Elimination Chamber is in the rearview mirror. It is time to step on the gas pedal. Full speed ahead, less than 6 weeks out, is the most stupendous two-night WrestleMania in history. I cannot wait to get there. I know my co-host can't wait either. He is the voice of NXT 2.0, Vic. We called our shots months ago. I saw you put it out on Twitter in the immediate wake of Elimination Chamber. Our boldest predictions for the year 2022 have both already taken place, and February is not even over yet.
I think it's funny that the responses we get, whether you post it on Instagram, whether you post it on Twitter, and, oh, you guys know. You guys knew. Yeah, we knew a week before Christmas that someone was going to get COVID before the new year. And we knew that someone wasn't going to be able to show up. And we knew all that. No, it's our predictions. It's what we thought, honestly, in the heart of hearts of what we wanted to see. Because at the end of the day, people listening, whether you want to believe it or not, we're still fans. We're still members of the WWE universe. And that, to me, is the biggest thing I took away. We called our shot. We both nailed it. Maybe we do know what we're talking about.
Well, the biggest takeaway, obviously, out of the Elimination Chamber, the Beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar, once again, WWE champion. The Beast is making his way to Friday Night SmackDown tonight, provided you're listening to this when it drops, to Correct. Confront the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns. It is official. Winner take all, title versus title at WrestleMania, Lesnar versus Reigns. I mean, the match already has sold itself. There's nothing we can say that's going to enhance it any more than this epic collision between arguably the two top stars in the entire industry.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Elsewhere on the Elimination Chamber card, hats off to the women. I thought the women's Elimination Chamber matchup was awesome. As we know, Bianca Belair was victorious. She will now challenge Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. Becky Lynch is someone I want to talk about because, let's be honest, I don't know if anybody truly expected Becky Lynch versus Lita to supersede expectations like it did at Elimination Chamber. Credit to Becky Lynch, who is doing what she has done for the past several years so very well. And you, Vic, know that Lita is a personal friend of mine and yours, has been for several years. And to see Lita go out there and not only hang, but provide some of the most awe-inspiring moments of the night, where I started to believe, oh my God, maybe Lita's going to pull this off. And the emotion after the match, something that I'm sure she will cherish and remember for quite some time. And to your point about you and I being fans, what a fun match for the Raw Women's title in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Obviously, I wasn't in Jeddah. You were. What I took away was the love from the WWE Universe in Jeddah that night to Lita. The overwhelming response for someone who, this is not a knock, hasn't been on WWE television for a decade. Has made small appearances here and there. Hasn't had a singles match.
I think it was like 15 years or something.
And to be shown the love from the audience that night in Jeddah, the overall support on social media just really shows you how Lita transcends a generation and is worthy of Hall of Fame, worthy of red carpet, worthy of roll anything out, private locker room, whatever you want to say. Round of applause. She delivered on every aspect.
Yeah,
on
no
that
doubt
night.
About it.
Did she surprise herself, you think?
I think so. I think she, knowing her as well as I do, I don't think she would have accepted the match if she didn't think she could at least live up to the expectation. But I don't think anyone, maybe including Lita herself, expected to defy expectations like she did this past Saturday, man. And you mentioned the love from the WWE universe. We've been going to Saudi Arabia for a while now. I think this is like my seventh or eighth trip over there. And honestly, it becomes more and more enjoyable. The fans are amazing over there. It's so exciting for them. And all they want to do is interact and share their culture with us when we go over there. I'm sure I've talked about it probably last time after we came back after Crown Jewel, my obsession with the food over in Saudi Arabia. It is the best of the best. I live for what they call the traditional American breakfast, which I go out of my way to order every morning that I wake up in one of those spectacular hotels.
Tweeted or Instagrammed a photo of?
It has become my goal because we head to Saudi Arabia so frequently. I now want to try the traditional American breakfast at every different hotel we stay at.
Oh.
And I've now begun to compare and contrast.
You're like a foodie now.
Just on the traditional American breakfast, which, and so far, every hotel I've gone to, that's actually on the menu as such, the traditional American breakfast. And it is every delicious thing you could possibly want for breakfast at one time. And it is the highlight, not only of my trips to Saudi Arabia, but I was talking to somebody the other day, I believe it was Michael Cole on the flight back. And I said, if you would have told me 3 years ago that one of my fondest memories in the world of my travels would be breakfast in Saudi Arabia in my room after ordering room service and watching the sun come up, because God knows your body is on whatever time zone. So I'm usually up at 5-6 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing I do is order this breakfast. And I sit there and I open the curtains in the hotel and watch the sunrise. And it's become one of those silly little things that probably doesn't mean anything to anybody, but it has become one of my fondest memories, my little victories that I look forward to in the madness of our lives and our world. It's like, man, someday when I'm an old man, I'm going to look back and think, damn, I want a traditional American breakfast.
My personal takeaway was when you sent me a picture of you relaxing on the plane with your socks, your Hall & Oates.
My Hall & Goats socks.
The Hall & Goats
you procured
socks
for me at some rest stop somewhere along the highway, somewhere in the middle of America.
I'm rocking my Buns and Roses.
While we're talking about that, and again, I had the conversation with Cole Goldberg. We had here on After the Bell this past week. And Goldberg, I thought, had a very, very strong accounting of himself against Roman Reigns. I think that match was exactly what it needed to be. I thought Goldberg still looked like a badass. He had everybody in Jeddah on their feet when he hit that second spear and thought, oh my God, this might happen again. And on the way back, man, Goldberg is a guy that you and I and a whole generation grew up watching as fans of.
100%.
Over the past several years, primarily due to these trips, these long flights to Saudi and back, you know, 17 hours each way, roughly, I've gotten to know Goldberg and consider him a friend these days. And he's been on this show multiple times and he's been gracious enough with his time. And the gratitude that Goldberg was feeling on the flight back, knowing that he went out there and had a strong showing for himself and just being a part of it and feeling the love. We chatted for hours on the flight back, and I just, it was one of those moments where I had to take myself out of the situation and just go, hey kid, in a few years, the guy who is the biggest star in WCW, one of the biggest stars in the business, one of the biggest stars in entertainment, you're going to have this relationship with and be able to confide in him and vice versa. And if in fact, if you listened to After the Bell last week, you know, it's out in the public zeitgeist now that Goldberg competed in his last contracted match with WWE. If Goldberg comes back, man, I hope for personally, I hope he does as being a fan, but if nothing else, it's one of the coolest takeaways from my professional career to see somebody who I've looked up to and was such a fan of and become friends with it. I can't let that get lost because this world moves so fast all the time, 365 days a year. There's no off season. There's very little downtime. So it's easy to forget these cool experiences and to be able to fly back and just share stories and listen to him talk and the appreciation that Goldberg has for the fans who still believe in him. That's genuinely what keeps Goldberg going. It's not a cliche. It's not a wrestler. Oh, I got you guys behind me. I can't be stopped. Goldberg lives for the adulation and the respect of these people. And that's why he busts his ass the way he does. And I, whatever it is, hopefully it's see you down the road, not goodbye. But man, I just had to get that out there and get that off my chest because I've been thinking about it for the past couple of days of how much respect I have for the man Goldberg beyond the on-screen character.
I think it's easy. And this is just speaking as Vic, not Vic Joseph, for you and I to lose fandom, for lack of a better term, because we're in this bubble every day. You more so than me now of having to get on a plane, wake up, get to the hotel, XYZ, production meeting, shows, getting through the show, things that change, that you and I, it would be easy for us to lose sight of things like that, of you getting to sit with Goldberg. And it's something that, yeah, you got to take a step back as individuals. I'm speaking just you and I. My hero growing up was Shawn Michaels. And I see him every Tuesday at NXT. He produces me every Tuesday, and I have in-depth conversations with him. I get texts from him, and I have to stand back sometimes and go, that's Shawn Michaels.
It's exactly. It's easy to forget.
That's the dude.
You're absolutely right. And a perfect example of what you're saying is I got off the flight, and we had about an afternoon off in South Carolina before Raw on Monday. And I got to my hotel room, and I turned on the TV, and I swear to God, this is no exaggeration, the first commercial that came on my television when I turned it on was a Goldberg Dodge commercial. And I was like, wait, I was literally with that guy 3 hours ago. And it just goes to show you that the reach and the star power. But man, and I know he takes a lot of crap from the internet and from certain pockets of the wrestling community. I love putting it out there. Very few, it's not often you get to hear Graves trying to spout positivity. You know me, I'm as cynical as the day is long.
I think you had something in your coffee this morning before we got started here today. But
no, it's because I'm looking forward to who we have coming on as a guest, and we get to promote something about me, Vic. Carmella's going to be here in a little bit.
Of course, it's always about you. Well, something else about you, WrestleMania. You love it just as much as I do. It's coming up right around the corner, the most stupendous week.
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be absolutely off the charts crazy. Now we find out it is a 2-for-1 deal. If you attend Friday night SmackDown in Dallas, the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony takes place immediately following. And this year, as we found out this weekend, the dead man, the Undertaker, will be inducted into the 2022 WWE Hall of Fame class. I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't mind, and I wouldn't bat an eyelash if this year it was just Undertaker.
I was going to ask you that. Like, should it just be the Phenom, and it'd be the only time it was one individual since Andre the Giant when the Hall of Fame began? I need someone to fact check me on that real quick. But
I think you may be right.
I think that's a tremendous honor and one that's just due for the Undertaker.
And I know I'm not the first person that's thrown this out here. I've seen that opinion, on Twitter over the past few days, and I know. Bubba Ray, however we're referring to him, has put it out there on his social media that he was suggesting that maybe that is that's valid. And our producer Alex just sent us a note. It was 1993. Andre the Giant went in solo, and I would dare say if anybody since Andre has the shoulders to carry such a load, it's the dead man. I mean,
100%.
I would just sit there and listen to his. I'm sure his induction speech is going to be incredible. I can't wait to get there. But before we get there, there's still a lot of twists and turns, still a lot of paths being carved. We've got a few marquee matchups. We know Lesnar and Reigns. We know Lynch and Belair. We know Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey. But the rest of the card is still kind of filling out. We find out the Mysterios versus the Miz and Logan Paul, which I love. Listen, I'm speaking to a very direct portion of our listening audience.
Here we go.
Wrestling fans that listen to this and love to pick things apart and love to overanalyze, that's okay. That's your prerogative. But WrestleMania, since its inception, has been about spectacle. You look back in the days, Muhammad Ali, the Rockettes, Alice Cooper with Jake the Snake Roberts. I mean, the celebrity interaction and infusion was kind of what launched WrestleMania to the fore. Mr. T, for goodness sakes.
Mike Tyson.
I'm saying we got away from it for several years where it was just about in-ring and stories and championships. But this is two nights. This is going to be the most stupendous two-night WrestleMania in history. It's going to be star-studded because this is one of two nights of the year where you don't have to be a WWE fan to understand and enjoy WrestleMania. It's like the Super Bowl. If you don't care about the teams playing, heck, my mom couldn't name five people on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you better believe she's there every Super Bowl and she picks a side and roots just because it's fun. It's a spectacle. It's become woven into the fabric of Americana. WrestleMania is that big of an event. So Logan Paul fits right in. And guess what? There's two nights. It's not like Logan Paul's getting a match so somebody else doesn't get it. It's a matter of spectacle. It's a matter of what you've done throughout the year and what you bring to the table and what you can add to the spectacle. But there are a lot of guys whose paths aren't clear. Rollins is still floating out there. Kevin Owens is still floating out there. Austin Theory, another guy we got, you know, skipped over. What a performance he had inside of the Elimination Chamber until he was nearly murdered by Brock Lesnar. Oof. But there are so many big-time stars. AJ Styles, how about Edge's promo in the ring this week?
What a
Edge
promo that was.
Out the open challenge saying, WrestleMania. WrestleMania needs me. Who wants some? And just imagine any of the names that I listed prior to Edge's name would be incredible. Can you imagine? Run it back. Rollins and Edge in Saudi Arabia last year was the match of the year. Run it back at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens and Edge. AJ Styles and Edge, which I know is a match that has kind of been permeating the Twitter sphere lately. Sign me up. I don't know what it's going to look like, and there are still 6 weeks, which is an eternity in our business because, Vic, as you know, things change literally hourly.
Someone who just returned to Monday Night Raw, Finn Balor.
Balor's
Finn
back.
Finn Balor and Edge.
Sign me up, man.
I mean, that's what I love, and I'm glad you brought up the 6 weeks. We always talk about, man, storytelling. You know, you and I have talked about that on this program at almost nauseam at this point. What I love about this year more so than the past, there isn't that March premium live event. We actually get 6 full weeks to sink our teeth into these stories, the emotions. What's going to happen in 6 weeks between Brock and Roman? What's going to happen over 6 weeks with Edge? Sami Zayn's the Intercontinental Champion. What's going to happen with Sami Zayn and his conspiracy theories? Like, it's so cool to me, not just that we're on the road to WrestleMania, that we have time to see things develop, that by the time we get to those two nights, you're going to be raring to go to see someone get their ass whooped.
And who knows if the rumors do in fact prove to be true. We may have another familiar face back in the fold between now and the Showcase of the Immortals. This is one of those ones where if you know, you know. And I'm not going to speak to it any longer. I'm going to feed the rumor mill. That's what I'm doing. I'm feeding the rumor mill.
Look at
I'm
you smiling. You love
flames.
It.
I am pouring gas on the fire. And I mean, if the rumors are true, I couldn't be more thrilled. Anyway, Vic, NXT 2.0 has got some big business happening. This past week, we saw Dolph Ziggler make an appearance with Tommaso Ciampa. NXT Stand and Deliver has been announced in the very near future. What's going on there in the multicolored brand? I used to be able to say black and gold. Now it's sort of the paint splatter.
You know, Stand and Deliver, NXT, for lack of a better phrase here, is going back on the road. You know, for the first time in quite some time. NXT Stand and Deliver, April 2nd. It's the day of night one of WrestleMania. The most stupendous week for WrestleMania in its history just got even bigger. The question I have for you, having gone through NXT, how important is this night, is this event for superstars like a Braun Breaker, a Tony D'Angelo, a Carmelo Hayes, to get that first taste?
Okay, so when I was in NXT, we basically exclusively had what you guys now refer to as the coconut loop,
right?
Which was FCW into the early days of NXT. We would have our Full Sail shows for television, but we would just kind of travel Florida every week, a couple times
Make the
a week,
towns,
different towns
as they say.
Around the surprisingly large state of Florida. You don't realize how Florida is until you have to drive from like the southern tip to the northern tip. It's
the hotel tent in Ocala. Did you ever work there?
Probably. I mean, we did everything. I wrestled on a pier at a beach. I wrestled, I'm pretty sure, in somebody's house. I mean, it's there's been quite a few unusual locations where FCW and NXT used to take place. But it was, I believe, the WrestleMania in California, in the Bay Area, which would have been 31. Correct me if I'm mistaken. It was Levi Stadium.
It had to be 31.
Yes. And we had the opportunity to do an NXT live event, and I had just been switched over to commentary shortly before then, so I didn't have the ability to compete at the time. and we did a live event in San Jose. I believe it was San Jose State University, and we packed it. And the energy that night, backstage, all during the day, was very much like this was going to be our opportunity. This was our coming out party. This is NXT is for real. See, we're going to go, and we sold out a show. It was not televised. It was just a live event for the crowd that was in the house. And I believe it was one of the biggest crowds, maybe the biggest crowd NXT had ever drawn at the time. And to a person backstage, it just gave everybody this renewed energy of, okay, this is real. This is what we're fighting for. This is what we're working toward. We all want to do this every weekend, like the guys on Raw and SmackDown get to do. And it made everybody a little bit more hungry. And in the wake of the San Jose show, they kept getting bigger. The tours became more frequent. We started going on the road. But that, to me, stands out as sort of a turning point where everybody went, okay, yeah, the developmental group, yeah, no, we're for real. We're here across the board. And everybody was just jacked up beyond belief. And now there's a whole different cast of characters. Braun Breaker's never had the ability to wrestle in front of 5,000 people. Or, you know, you have the CWC where you have not a huge crowd, but to be able to have a couple thousand people, which I have no doubt Stand and Deliver will provide, it does something to the entire roster, especially to people who haven't experienced it on that level. And it will force everyone to step up their game. And it should make everybody hungrier to go, oh man, like I love being on NXT every week, but Raw gets to do this every week, two or three times a week, you know, on the live events. And then it can be addicting, and in a good way. And I think that's exactly what you're going to see after Stand and Deliver, going back on the road, being in front of a proper live crowd in a different location. You feel like a little bit more of a star. So you act a little bit more like a star, which translates into being more of a star through the screen, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think the roster should be really excited about it. I kind of laugh when I think about it. You know, I've sat next to you at special events. I've sat next to you at WrestleManias, and I can feel the excitement from the Braun Breakers and that NXT 2.0 superstar that's really gearing up now with the formal announcement of Stand and Deliver. But we are on the road to WrestleMania. It feels good, man. Are we getting back to a little bit of normalcy as we've talked about? Even more so now, a whole week of events. Access is back. You know, fans are going to be coming from all over the world. I'm really excited for what's going to happen in Dallas coming up. And you said, what, less than 6 weeks?
Less than 6 weeks. I believe it was 6 weeks from this past Saturday. It'd actually be almost five weeks. Tomorrow.
Yeah, can't wait.
As fast as the world turns. I cannot wait. WrestleMania feels properly like WrestleMania season for the first time in 2 years. Last year, we did have WrestleMania for two nights, and it was a blast in Tampa, but it still didn't quite feel like WrestleMania. This year, we're coming out guns blazing. It's Texas. It's Dallas. It is Jerry World. It's going to be absolutely off the charts for two nights in a row. I can't wait to get there. But you know what else I'm excited for, Vic?
I think I already know what you're about to say.
I'm excited for Monday.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Obviously. But what actually will see the light of day prior to Monday Night Raw this week? That being a new show. Do you know what I'm getting at, Vic?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for you to start gloating.
I'm not gloating. I'm wearing my humble hat today. It is a new show. It is potentially the hottest new show to hit the internet since... insert hot internet show here, because I don't watch a lot of internet television, but we are here.
That broke me. I don't know why.
Never take yourself too seriously. I am excited because Corey and Carmella, our brand new unscripted show, will hit WWE's official YouTube page this Monday, February 28th. And Vic, rather than listening to me drone on and put myself over for the next however many minutes, we've got a guest. Well, Vic, as we have discussed at great length, we are on the road to WrestleMania. There is no shortage of massive news coming everybody's way right here on After the Bell as we make our march toward Dallas. But before we get to Dallas, Texas, for the most stupendous two-night WrestleMania in history, we've got some other business to take care of. A little more breaking news. It's got a bit of a personal touch to it. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. And I'm done. I've listened to you long enough today. The star of the family is joining us. As you refer to her every Monday, the most beautiful woman in all of WWE, one half of the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the lovely Carmella is joining us. Mella, I have missed you on this show. This should be you and I hosting this, by the way.
You know, when you said star of the family, I thought you were talking about Pancake. I didn't realize you were talking about me.
Pancake's 1A.
The show has not aired yet because, trust me, in the weeks to come, Pancake will become a mega celeb. I have no doubt about it.
Pancake has more followers on Instagram than all of us.
Well, how'd that happen? You know, you really have become soft, Graves. That little dog really changed your life.
No. Carmella will verify. That dog has not changed my life. That dog has made my existence.
No, he pretends.
I am going to see, and we'll get into it every Monday, you loving that little dog, taking it on walks, giving it baths, trimming its nails, polishing it up, cleaning its ears, giving it a little kissies. You've gotten soft, my friend.
Vic, I'm going to punch you directly in the throat next time we are in close quarters. We're not here to talk about my stupid dog. His name's not in the title of the show. His name is not in the title of the hottest new reality show on the planet Earth, or at least YouTube. Corey and Carmella drops this Monday. Carmella, it's weird referring to you as such because of the genesis of this entire reality show. Why don't we walk the people through the journey that has been nothing short of tumultuous as to how we got to this point?
People don't realize this has been in the works for almost 2 years. So the fact that it's finally here and it's coming onto the WWE YouTube channel, this is huge. And we're just I'm just so excited. Are you excited?
I'm super thrilled.
I'm a little nervous.
Nervous is an accurate descriptor for both of us because we are kind of putting our full personal lives out for the world to see, to enjoy. We've done it for a little while. For the past year or so on our personal podcast, Bear With Us, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. It has nothing to do with WWE. We don't even use the names Corey and Carmella on Bear With Us. It is truly a glimpse into our personal life. It's more relationship-based, advice-based, kind of sharing our ups and downs and everything in between with our Bear With Us listeners about how we may be WWE superstars. She is the most beautiful woman in all of WWE. I am an obnoxious loudmouth who talks crap for a living. So it's kind of a chance to see the other side, the people behind the characters. And it's really exciting for both of us to put this out in the forefront.
I've been in the car with both you guys, you know, plenty of times. And I know that this really, I kind of want to call it a passion project that has blossomed into this reality show. Is that fair enough to say?
I don't know if that's fair to say because there's never really any goal.
No, it just happened.
Did it just pop up?
It was when the quarantine first started. We were in quarantine. We were bored. We had no idea what we're doing. And I was like, what if tomorrow we had a few glasses of wine one night? And I was like, what if tomorrow morning we do an Instagram live, do our own little talk show? And he was like, sure, let's do it. And then the next morning he was like, are we still going to do that? I thought for sure he was just agreeing to it because again, he had maybe a few glasses of wine and he wasn't really committing to it. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So then we just started doing this Instagram live and we were just being our real life selves. I was being so annoying and obnoxious and over the top. And he, of course, was acting like he couldn't stand me. That's all acting, by the way, because he loves me.
But that is true.
We were just being ourselves and people just seemed to enjoy it, I guess, which I don't know why, but they did. And then it just kind of snowballed from there into the podcast. And then podcast snowballed into this reality show. So it's just really based off of us being our real life selves. And that to me is exciting, but it's a little nerve-wracking. You know, when people see this trailer, they've never seen this side of me before where I'm just kind of being open and honest and, you know, or being a little sexy. And I think people are kind of taken aback by it a little bit because they're not used to seeing that side of us. And I'm excited for people to just get to know us.
I think Wade Barrett put it the best because we talked about it this past Tuesday, actually on NXT. He said relationships in the WWE are common. I'm obviously in one with someone that's in the company and he has been in one with someone who is in the company. He gives you guys all the respect in the world for dropping that window and is very interested to see how this is going to work and how you guys are going to grow as a couple. So I just want to let you know what Wade had to say about you guys taking this journey.
It is nerve-wracking to an extent because everybody has an opinion and a lot of our fans have issues differentiating, realizing that everybody from Roman Reigns to Corey Graves is a character on screen. There are elements of our real personalities that the wrestling cliche, you crank the volume to 11 on, But when I walk out of the arena after Monday Night Raw, I'm no longer Corey Graves. I'll say it. It's my show. I'm Matt. Anyone with Google can figure this out. So on our Bear With Us podcast, we have been Matt and Leah, which our goal was to keep WWE and our professional lives completely separate from what we were doing on the podcast. But when we were approached with the reality show, WWE, as you know, Vic, is so all-encompassing as a lifestyle. It is a job, but it takes up literally all of your time. And we realized it's impossible to make a reality show without including WWE, because that arguably is the most interesting aspect of both of our lives. So we brought it to WWE. And thankfully, they went, oh, this sounds interesting. And they worked in conjunction with our partners over at Glass Entertainment to help bring this to the forefront. But the process, as you mentioned, Carmella, took years, literally.
It took years. It took a long time. But for us, the most important aspect of this whole show was being real and authentic to ourselves and not trying to put on some sort of character or put on like, hey, can you guys talk about this or say this? And we wanted to be authentic to ourselves and bring our podcast into the show as well, where our podcast is all about normalizing everything that couples go through and talking about real life issues. Corey and I, we fight, we go through things. And when we have our podcast, we bring it to our podcast and our listeners, and they listen and they weigh in and they say, oh my gosh, you know, my husband and I went through the same thing, or I can't believe they talked about that. I didn't realize other people go through things like that. So that's what we want to bring to the show and just shed a light on the issues that all couples deal with and kind of normalize things, normalize sexy time, normalize all of these things that, you know, we do and we want to talk about it and not hold back. And I think, you know, there has been some feedback from the fans and people being like, whoa, like, why are they talking about that in the trailer? And why is it so, you know, it's not so PG? Well, that's not us. This is who we are. And it's okay to talk about things like that. And I think sometimes there's like this stigma on talking about sexy things. And it's like, no, it's 2022. It's time to get with the times and talk about things that everyone it's happening in the world right now. And I don't really care what people have to say. This is who we are. And if you don't like it, don't watch it.
And based solely on the promotional materials that have been released to this point, it seems extremely spicy, sexy, heavy. We promise you, that's just a little bit of what it is. I mean, it's marketing. We're trying to get people interested, trying to create a buzz. And that's something that nobody else is really doing, particularly within WWE, to really, you know, spice things up. So we figured maybe that was our lane. Maybe that would get people paying attention. But you get to see all aspects of our life.
Our families.
My kids make an appearance at some point. It's not a show about sex. Yes. It's just they took off basically all of the clips of us making sexy jokes to one another, mashed them together, and came up with this trailer. But it's getting a lot of traction. It's getting a lot of attention. We're really excited about it.
So you guys have like broke down a little bit more than just what's on the trailer that everyone has seen. It has been very heavily promoted on social media. Is there anything that made the show that you guys looked at each other and went, oh my God, that made the cut?
There was a lot. Yeah. Again, this process has taken years, and particularly the editing has been, 5 or 6 months at this point. And they would send us clips and we would make notes and say, hey, we like this. Hey, we don't love this. But it was collaborative, because there were things where we went, I don't know if we want to put that out there. But whether Glass or WWE or somebody would say, yeah, but I think people are going to gravitate to this. This is really entertaining. And it's really hard to look at yourself objectively on this show. Like, Vic, I know you and I have discussed, I never watch any of my old wrestling matches or anything that I do, because I'm my own worst critic. And the same is usually said for Leah. So it's weird when you get this clip and it's edited together and you think, well, yeah, we lived this, and maybe that's not exactly how we remembered it, but you're looking at it and you have to look at it objectively and go, it's not about us. It's not whether or not we think it's funny. It's whether or not other people will enjoy it.
And I watch it and I'm embarrassed. Some of the things that I say and do, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that out. But it's like, no, we can't. This is who I really am. And if people don't like it, well, I guess that's just too bad. But I am embarrassed watching some of it, because it's like when the camera's around you, we're just us. I'm like belching and, you know, just being over the top. And I'm like, oh my God, if I were Corey, I would be so annoyed by me as I'm watching. How are you with me right now?
He's with you because he's one lucky son of a bitch. That's why, Carmella. That's why.
Thank you. See, I kept you around for a reason.
Yeah, I want to bring up a point too. I haven't seen any of the show. I've not been privy to a clip. I have not seen anything but the trailer. And knowing both of you, and as much as Matt Corey has helped me in my career traveling with you both, I believe with every bone and fiber in my body that this will be the most authentic reality, quote unquote, show that has ever aired. YouTube, Twitter, TV, doesn't matter, because of how you two want to be perceived.
Vic, authenticity was partly one of the reasons why it's taken so long to get this to where it's going to see the light of day finally. It's as much an experiment as it has been a project for us, for WWE, to kind of test the waters. And the beauty of us being on YouTube is we have a little more leeway. We don't necessarily have to be beholden to certain standards and practices and protocols that, you know, you find in the entertainment business. But it was of the utmost importance to both of us to maintain our authenticity, because that's what's gotten us the following with the Bear With Us podcast, is being, as we mentioned before, Matt and Leah versus Corey and Carmella. Obviously, intellectual property comes into play, and boom, now we're Corey and Carmella. All of it is very as authentic as we could have it. It's unscripted television. They don't call them reality shows anymore. So of course, there are going to be scenarios where you go, I don't know if, but otherwise it's going to be us sitting on our couch for hours and no one wants to watch that.
I think you may be surprised. Some people might be able to tune in to watch you both sitting on a couch.
We should just especially put cameras all over our house on each side, like Big Brother, and it's just us just hanging out all day.
Yeah, I love that we're talking about the authenticity, because I want to know, I almost said Leah, Carmella, how does this differ, this process differ than what you had to go through during Total Divas?
Well, this is different, first of all, just because it's just Corey and I, whereas before there were 7 or 8 or 9 sometimes castmates when it was to Total Divas. And this we have a lot more creative control over, whereas Total Divas, you're kind of like stuck in this little bubble of what is expected of you. And, you know, it's definitely a lot related to in the ring, where this is our personal lives. Our real personal lives are out there. And for me, I just love that. I love that I'm able to be myself and not be told, oh, you say this or act like that, or you're mad about this. It's just us being us. And I am so excited for the world to just see who we are in real life and not have to put on an act and not put on a certain character. And I really hope everyone loves it, because it is us being us. And I'm so excited for the authenticity of the show.
Our goal through this whole process, all the way back to the podcast, once we kind of got it rolling and figured out what it was going to look like, was to normalize all aspects of relationships. Relationships are messy. Vic, you've been in relationships. Everyone's had relationships, no matter what the situation is. Nothing is like it is on TV or in the movies. Nobody's life is perfect and peachy keen all the time. And on our podcast, there have been probably 20 instances where we got broke down into legitimate
in
arguments
fights.
And discussions for the world to see. And I think a lot of people kind of go, oh, okay, they're more like us than they are, you know, otherwise it would be Corey Graves and the most beautiful woman in WWE talking about how wonderful we are and just flaunting our, and that's not the case.
This real coffee life is so delicious. And,
crumpets are delicious. Messy. Real life's ugly. And we had a discussion, 2 years ago, we were sitting by the pool, I remember, and we were discussing like, hey, what would we do after WWE, or if WWE wasn't around? And we talked about something that was actually very important to us. And we talk about it probably a little too much on Bear With Us, is like the sexuality aspect and how there's still a stigma, and it's people are ashamed to explore that aspect of their lives or their relationships.
When it's something everyone does, everyone goes through it, but no one talks about it. Why can't we talk about it?
And to your point, it's 2022. Last night we were sitting watching a documentary about the Pam and Tommy thing and what a mess that was and how it genuinely shifted the world. But Pamela Anderson didn't do anything wrong. She had sex with her husband and they filmed it, but it genuinely like affected society. There's been like a ripple effect to this
very huge ripple effect.
But the thing that happened was Tommy Lee, no issues. They high-fived him. You're cool. But Pam, she was looked at as in such a negative light. And that's how it always is with the women. And I think that's what we're trying to do with our podcast. Yes, we talk about these things. I talk about the things probably more than Corey. I joke around about
she's
it all the time.
Pervert.
And, you know, people are like, oh my gosh, she's a freak. It's like, no, this is just people talk about it, but just no one talks about it publicly. So let's put that out there and normalize it and let it be okay. You can still talk about these things and still be classy and still come from a good family and still be successful and do good things with your life. It doesn't mean that you can only be one or the other. You don't have to fit into just one box.
Exactly. No, and it's about being multifaceted human beings. We are one way on television. We are another way in the airport. We're another way when I have my kids on the weekends and there's not, you know, we go out on dates. Everybody's different. And it's not just Corey and Carmella. It's kind of the point for everybody to sort of be able to embrace, oh, you don't just have to be in this one lane. you can be this and you can be that. Yeah. And you can also be this. It's time to like stop limiting everybody and trying to keep everybody in a box of going, okay, you're the most beautiful woman in WWE. That's who you are. That's all you are. That's how
there's
I think of
so
you.
Much more.
That's how I imagine you when I wake up in the morning and when I go to sleep. No, that's not the case. This is where the reality aspect comes in.
And on the show, you're going to see me as a WWE superstar. You're going to see me as a girlfriend. You're going to see me as a daughter. You're going to see me as a stepmom. You're going to see me as, you know, in so many different lights. And same with you. And we're allowed to be, what did you just say?
Multifaceted.
Good word. We're allowed to do
Scrabble
that.
Scrabble word of the day. It's cool because there's been a few times in the car that Carmella has said something when we traveled that made me blush. I said, what the hell? I turned around and she just sitting there looking at me. Yeah, you heard me say it. And I go, you ain't kidding. Let me get back to driving here. Was there any trepidation on either of your parts of letting cameras in the house? Like, no. Did you ever have a moment where you're like, these cameras are going to be here?
I'm an open book. I'm not afraid to let it all out there. I don't care. If it helps people, that's the thing with our podcast. I think what we do when we talk about things on our podcast that some people may blush over, it normalizes it. And I think it just kind of lets everyone's guard down a little bit like, oh, okay, cool. Like we talk about that too, or maybe it gives them an inspiration to sort of talk to their partner about an issue they're having in the bedroom or something like that, because otherwise they may not ever discuss it. And then they're just going the rest of their lives not talking about this one thing that they really would really help their lives and help their relationship.
Matthew, are you having issues in the bedroom?
I
mean, we don't have any issues in the bedroom, that's for sure. But you know, we can maybe offer some advice to people who are.
It is. It's all about trying to normalize this because everybody has issues and a lot of people probably have watched their relationships deteriorate, and both of us have in the past. I mean, we're not coming into this like, oh, you know, we're just this perfect couple that came together. No, man, we have our crosses to bear and we've learned from our past experiences both. And anybody who has been in a relationship that was not successful can learn a lot if you pay attention and learn your lessons and try to reapply them to a new one. So I think it's just kind of breaking down that idea that, oh, there's a problem. We can't talk about this. Oh, I hope it fixes itself. It's like, no, man, relationships are work.
And it's 2022. Let's normalize this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. But I just realized, so where the hell's your mustache?
Probably in the sink somewhere.
What happened to that?
Well, I don't know. Baby, why don't you tell everybody?
Well, we're getting married soon in 42 days.
Well, wait a minute. Wasn't the mustache your idea, if this memory suits me correct?
I'm just kind of over it. You know, again, we changed our minds.
You're like Mr. Potato Head. She's just going to plug the mustache in, plug the mustache out. Plug it in, plug it out.
Mr. Potato Head, yeah. Today I've got my blue sneakers on.
Well, he asked my opinion. He was like, should I keep it? Should I not? I said, well, let's get rid of it for a little bit and see. I mean, and I told him, if you don't like the without the mustache, it'll grow back in 48 hours anyway.
Yeah, the good news is I have an unlimited supply of facial hair with which to work. But
I haven't shaved in 48 days.
Actually, this has been gone now for about 2 weeks. You're late to the party, Vic. We actually, what spawned this was our series of thirst trap photos that we flooded the internet with, which was 100% to get people going, what the hell are they up to?
Yeah, I had an idea, but I don't want to talk about it on air, what I thought it was.
Well, it's not that.
I thought you guys were going to release that Pom and Tammy or Tommy tape. I was like, no, they're not doing this, are they?
We're saving that for a rainy day.
After this, everything goes south and we need to figure something
out.
Last
ditch effort.
Yeah, that's the ace up the sleeve per se to really get them going. You know, I love you both. You guys know that. I've said it before, the day you guys got engaged, then you can call me a liar. I FaceTimed Graves. I was in Vegas and sure I had tears coming out of my eyes. I was so happy.
Aww.
Then when I got engaged, Matt didn't know what the hell was going on because I told him the night before, hey, this. And he goes, wait a minute, bro. Did you actually, man, I sent you the thing last night, said that I did it just like you did, diamond. And he's like, I thought you bought the ring. I didn't know you did it. My bad. I was cool. I'm emotional for you. Engaged. And you're sitting here going, I was at a hockey game.
I was. Listen, it's all right. No one's ever accused me of being the brightest star in the sky and being good at picking up hints. Ain't that right, babe?
That's for sure.
I'm really pumped for the show. I think it's going to be unlike anything WWE has ever had their fingerprint on. And that goes Miz and Mrs. That goes down the line.
It is. And that was by design. And that's what we wanted. That's what WWE was excited to do while we were putting this thing together is just, it's not inappropriate. Again, it's a little more adult themed, a little more adult oriented, but it's by no means
everyone
like
everyone can watch it.
Yeah.
You guys have marital aids laying on the ground at one point. I'm not going to call them what they were. They're marital aids.
Well, there's blurs.
In the professional sense.
There's actually a cheese grater in there, too.
This is a What?
Yeah, you're going to have to watch the show to find out what that's all about. That's what happens when you leave me to my own devices. Let's just leave it like that.
I don't know if this can get any higher from the conversation, how it just spun, but I kind of want to take it back to being serious for a moment. You guys talk about arguments. You talk about the past. You talk about the future. You talk about being real. Carmella, you're talking about breaking down barriers for women. The conversation you guys had off air, on air through this process, did you guys learn anything about each other a little bit more as the process was going on, learn how to deal with things, watching it back? Anything surprise you about the other?
That's a great question. As far as learning anything, I mean, I learned how annoying I am. That's for sure.
Self-critique, Carmella. Yeah, that is a wonderful thing.
Self-awareness. You know, I realized maybe I'm a little annoying. So I feel for Corey, you know. What did you learn? Did you learn anything?
I think it's been the whole process has been nonstop learning.
I know what I think you learned, how much work it is.
Doing because, reality TV? Yes.
I know because I did Total Diva, so I was fully prepared. And obviously I knew it would be a little more work because it's just the two of us. So I knew it would be a little more. And Corey would be over here like, oh my God, we have to do it. We have to do this. And it's like, you have no idea how much work this is. It's like you come home from off the road and you're right into cameras again. And then, oh, we need to do another scene here. And then we need to do interviews. I mean, it's so much work. And I will say I was fully prepared and I don't think you were.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I was in my head. I was like, oh, I was on Total Divas for like a day.
Oh, God.
So I thought I had some sort of idea. But realistically, I was not anticipating the amount of time it took. I mean, considering when this all rolls out, I think all told, footage wise, that we'll see the light of day this week will be like 46, 47 minutes total. And again, it's taken 2 years to get the whole process completed, but we've shot several weeks worth of footage and then have it chopped up and narrowed down. And it's like, well, what about that thing? Oh, well, it didn't turn out right. You shoot so much and then you narrow it down. And then it's, well, we thought this thing was funny. And then the producer's coming back and saying, well, it didn't work. Or then they send it to us and then we think it's going to be hilarious and awesome. And you watch and go, oh, that was kind of lame. It's a lot more work than I definitely expected it to be.
Carmella brought up the wedding coming up.
Wait, did you just stifle a burp?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to be rude.
You just got to talk about how authentic you are and you.
Well, because I'm trying to be professional a little bit.
She didn't want to interrupt my question, yeah. Corey. She's a professional, as she just said, as she sips her. You know, I might have a little bit of coffee too here in just a second. You guys talk about the wedding coming up. I don't know if this is looking too far into the future. Will cameras be present on that day? Is there a chance of a Corey Carmella season two? Has there stuff been done for season two already? What's the thought process now if you're looking forward?
I guess that's for us to know and for you to find out.
Boom. Ooh. That was even better than what I had queued up. See?
Oh my gosh.
She's having a burp attack.
She's doing it again?
Just let it rip.
Oh, excuse me. That was pretty weak compared to you.
That was like a 7.
That was impressive. That was a 10 to me.
She needs champagne. The champagne.
Oh, the bubbles.
Soda. Yeah. I need some carbonation in my life.
Yeah, you will find out on Corey and Carmella that Carmella does, in fact, possess a hidden talent. The ability to belch and shake small buildings.
I have a lot of hidden talents.
All right, Mella, it is WrestleMania season. That is ultimately why we are here today on After the Bell, because we're on the road to WrestleMania. You are still one half of the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. What is on your mind? What are your plans as of this moment for WrestleMania?
That is a great question. I am one half of the Tag Team Champions, although we haven't really been doing much as of late. I have no idea what's in the future for the Tag Team Champions. I would really like to have a WrestleMania moment. I've never had a WrestleMania moment in my entire career. I've been here since 2016. I mean, you can say I won the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, was great.
Wonderful call, by the way. The voice of that was amazing. Thank you. Not myself.
But I'm talking, I want a moment. I want a prominent storyline. I want a championship match at WrestleMania. I've never had that in my career, and I want that. And I think some people may say, well, you know, I've had my time in my career. You know, I won Money in the Bank, cashed in on Charlotte Flair. But why is that the only thing that I have to be known for? why do I only have to be known for winning Money in the Bank and cashing in on Charlotte Flair? I'm so much more than that. And I want so much more than that. And I think that that's okay to want more than that. And that is, that's my goal. And if I don't get that, then I don't know what I'm going to do, because I want a WrestleMania moment. I want an opportunity to show what I can do. I want to remind people what I can do, because I know what I'm capable of. And I think maybe some people out there forgot, but I would like my opportunity to remind everyone what I'm capable of. And I want more than just being one half of the tag team champions and being Queen Zelina's sidekick.
Well, what's the dream scenario then? Let's give you the pencil. What's the dream scenario?
Give me the pencil. That's a great question. I don't even know.
I really don't know. My goal is. My goal is to succeed where Edge and Lita failed.
Oh, the live set. I'm not going to ruin it.
That would be amazing too.
That's just personally. That has nothing to do with, you know, anything of consequence.
Well, now the gears are turning in my head now. I'm trying to.
We need to let you go, Vic, because when your gears start turning, tends to take a turn for the worse. This could be bad. True. We're going to let Carmella go before you get us both in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Well, Carmella, thank you as always for joining ATB. Corey and Carmella, this coming Monday, woo-hoo! February 28th,
so
available
excited.
On WWE's YouTube. Subscribe right now. Follow us at Bear With Us Pod. And anything else? Any parting words?
You can throw the Marillade at Corey ringside.
No Marillades on Raw. Come on.
Talking about a WrestleMania moment.
Inappropriate. We're all about appropriateness.
That's a lot.
Total lie. I'm ready to say, like, bear with us, because I feel like we're filming our, we're doing our podcast.
Here, let's.
Like, bear with us.
Here, I need you to do this for me. We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
With more wisdom.
With more wisdom.
More vitriol.
More vitriol.
And more WWE.
And more WWE.
After the bell.
After the bell.
Bear with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right, Vic, it's been a long day. We covered a hell of a lot of ground, and I hope your shoes are tied nice and tight, because we've got a lot more ground to cover in the weeks to come on the road to WrestleMania as the showcase of the Immortals continues to take shape before the most spectacular, stupendous two-night WrestleMania in WWE history. We have got you covered, all the news you will need from here on out. So make sure you follow us at After the Bell WWE on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me at WWE Graves. You can find Vic at Vic Joseph WWE. Listen for free on Spotify. Just search After the Bell and hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. And by the way, if you haven't already, I'm sure you have, because we have 85 million subscribers. But subscribe to the official WWE YouTube page, because you are not going to want to miss Corey and Carmella premiering this Monday, February 28th. We'll be back next week with more wisdom, more vitriol, more WWE after the bell.